crucified them, but saved from sin. I also, God, I have entered in there. Jesus saves me and keeps me clean. Glory to His name.
Each and every one of you tonight. We do give everyone a warm welcome in their service. And we want to turn to Matthew chapter 17. And I want to continue on and I'm probably missing out a lot of things what I could have said about John the Baptist and the different scriptures. But I just want to continue on tonight. There's one part I want to try and get to tonight. And I want to say this. If someone... And I'm not saying here, but you know, say if you have a friend or I have a friend and they don't see things just the way we see them, that's all right. It doesn't make them a bad person. We're not going to fall out with them. You know what I mean? They can still be saved just because they don't see things the same as us. But we do believe that what God's done certain things in our day, and we're not compromising because somebody else doesn't see it. Because when you hear others preach, they're not compromising about what they believe. So we have to take a stand on what we believe. And we thank God that we believe we have the truth, what God's given us. Amen. Matthew 17 and verse 11, just one verse. And Jesus answered and said unto them, Elias truly shall first come and restore all things. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you tonight that we can come and gather together in your name, the name that is above every other name, the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, this is a stone which was set at naught of the builders, but now has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's no other name given under heaven whereby man must be saved other than the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, we worship and praise you tonight. We say that you are Lord above all, that there is one God, one Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, bless your people again this evening. We say all amen to what's already been prayed. We ask that you will speak to us from your word and open these scriptures to our understandings. Grant us revelation and stimulation tonight. And may the Holy Spirit quicken each and every one of us in this house. And may you meet every need. Lord, I ask and take the promised Holy Ghost to help me in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. You may be seated. Praise God. So we see that, as I said this morning, the ministry of John the Baptist was in the spirit of Elijah. One crying in the wilderness to make straight the way of the Lord. John came in the spirit of Elijah. And Jesus is the man that preached our doctrine. Nobody else. Jesus preached it. And in your second, in your verse, next verse, after what we read here, verse 12, you can read, but I say unto you that Elias has come already. And they knew him not, but have done unto him whatsoever they listed. And then he says, so also shall they do to the Son of Man. And they beheaded John. And John, Jesus says, if you can receive it, it is John that came in the spirit of Elijah. And John pointed them forward to the coming Messiah. But we are promised before the coming of the Lord. And we know we're living in the Laodicean church age. This is the last church age. There's seven church ages. And this is the last church age. And in this last church age, we are promised the coming of the spirit of Elijah again,
just before the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And this coming of the Spirit of Elijah will bring a full restoration of all things. You hear people saying it restored nothing. Well, that's contrary to the Bible. Because we've read tonight, Jesus answered and said unto me, last truly shall first come and restore all things. Now there has to be a restoring back to the true Word of God. Now when I say that, the Word of God doesn't need restored. But you know, down through the church ages, they got further and further away from the truth of God. And God began to restore. And when God began to bring a work of restoration right down through, even before the Elijah Master came, and you know that God restored the Pentecostal gifts back in the church. That was Azusa Street. Now we know that. And that is part of the Word of God and part of the restoration. So God was bringing about a full restoration. This Bible doesn't say a part, it says a full restoration. Before the coming of the Lord. So before the great and dreadful day of the Lord, God promised that He would do this, send a prophet in the spirit of Elijah, whose ministry would be to restore all things and turn the heart of God's born again children to the faith of the early church fathers, Malachi 4 and 6. And you know Malachi 4 and 6 is in two parts, the A and the B part. John fulfilled part of it, but there's a messenger for our day that fulfills the other part. And that's the turning of the heart back to the original apostolic faith. The heart of the fathers back to the children. And we know that that's happened, that the Spirit of Elijah has come. And it's brought a restoration and it's turned our hearts back. Praise God. Now may there be an anticipation in all of our hearts to understand this, that this is promised for our day. May we not just let it slip, or may we not just have an attitude that says we don't want to hear about it, or may we not have an attitude that's not important. If these things are not important, they wouldn't be in this Bible. God done this for a reason, and God done this for a purpose. Now, why was it, even with myself, when I was in Czechoslovakia, why was it that the Lord spoke to me and I had a supernatural visitation the same as I had in jail? And why did an audible voice speak to me and say, thou shalt depart from this work till another that I will show thee? Why did God do that? And you say, but there's not many of us, God's not moving. God's sometimes doing far more than you can think.
Amen.
And when you look at many of what people call the movement of God today, there's nothing to it. It's sham. Because they bring the bottles of wine, they drink, they do everything like the world. There's no dress code, there's no real structure in the Bible or nothing. There's nothing to it. You would even doubt whether they're saved at all. And they claim to be in Christ, but it's like what the brother Branham said, they're bearing a false witness of Christ. Now there will be a genuine move of God's people. But you remember there's always twofold. The nominal church world is going to receive a revival. I'm telling you. It's happening. And they're going to all come together and the Pope will be the head. And they're doing it now. They're recognizing them now. And they're now saying that what the reformers and the Reformation now has done away with, it's lost its power and all the rest of it. And they've even, some of them have called it a demon. Can you imagine that? Men that claim to have the baptism of the Holy Spirit talking like that. And you remember that God's prophet that came in the spirit of Elijah foretold these things. And he says, one of the biggest mistakes they made was making tongues the evidence of the Holy Ghost. And he said, once they made the tongues the evidence, then when certain people spoke in tongues and they said, there you are, they've got it. And he said, they hadn't got it at all. Now we believe in tongues. We certainly believe in tongues. And if we are saying we're restored back, we should have tongues amongst us. We should have all these gifts amongst us. I don't go with a sign of it, what's extreme, what's airing out. They're wrong.
they're just as wrong as the other side. But there has to be right down the middle, and all these gifts should be in the church.
William Browning clearly said time and time again that the gifts should be in the church of God.
How can we claim that we're believing in a full restoration or don't have it? We're denying the very word if we do that. Just like there maybe are on the other side as well. So one can be as guilty as the other. But there still remains the truth. Amen.
Now, this coming of the spirit of Elijah, whose ministry would turn the heart of God's born-again children back to the original, which is Pentecost. The church began on the day of Pentecost. Up where the church began. And I made a statement this morning. I'm going to say it again tonight, because it's another doctrine of Jesus. Jesus Christ never told the disciples to go preaching, but he said, you cannot go until you get the Holy Ghost first.
How many knows? He said, tarry in Jerusalem until you're endued with power. Then you can go.
Now you know they went before it when he was with them. But I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about after that, when he says to Peter, when you're converted, then you strengthen your weaker brand and you'll have to be upper room. And they were filled and baptized with the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. And when they were filled and baptized with the Holy Spirit, they went forth preaching.
They didn't go down somewhere to get suited out in degrees.
That's not how it works. But you see, people take every single move that God brings, and man gets his hands on it and he ruins it.
That's what happens. Because he gets too smart.
Instead of just following the Spirit as it goes, he thinks God needs a hand. Isn't that right?
You look, we know that God's visited in the 20th century. We know that. There's no question about it. When you listen to the ministry of William Branham, you cannot listen to that but know that God done something special.
How that God could call out people, their secrets of their hearts could be known, their names, addresses, every detail God knew about them. And God was upon that man and God gave him that gift. But you see, men took that and they added their interpretations to it. And yet with all that, the prophet said, do not try to interpret it. God's his own interpreter. Leave it alone. But they didn't do that.
Amen. But it doesn't mean that his message is wrong. It means theirs is wrong.
It's not right. Their interpretation's wrong. Praise God. The original Pentecost, what we want. When the Holy Spirit was given, we must understand that it was necessary for God to send a prophet in our generation. Because this is the leadership in church age, the last Gentile church age. There is to be the rapture at the end of this age. And we are so close to the catching up tonight. We are close to the coming of the Lord. And there has to be a message that foreruns Christ's second coming. Just as there are a message foreruns his first coming. And the voice said, as John the Baptist forerun the first coming of Christ, this message will forerun the second coming of Christ. Now, you hear all these smart alecks saying, somebody shouted it from the side, and this happened and that happened. Well, did somebody from the side bring the pillar of fire down? You see, once you start to listen to that sort of talk, they'll all explain all the supernatural away, just like they do in healing. Now the men that do that, they're unbelievers. They don't want to believe the supernatural. But you know, sitting here tonight, that God's a supernatural God. And if God wants a pillar of fire to come in this meeting visible, and there could be even people here that's already saw it. The pillar of fire. So you know God can do it. So you don't need nobody to explain it away to you. God can do it. God is supernatural. Revelation 10:7, it says, but the day is the voice of the seventh angel. And you know that Revelation, when you study Revelations, seven stars in the hand of Jesus and seven stars. Stars represent angels and angels represent messengers. And there's seven angelic, there's seven messengers, and there's seven church ages, and there's a messenger for each church age. And we know Martin Luther was one of them, we know John Wesley was one of them, and we absolutely believe William Branham was the last church age messenger. Do you know why? Because none of these other men fit the bill. Their ministry's not supernatural. There's no vindication that God's even with them. And you know what happened when a man stood up in a famous place just a few years back and claimed that he was in the spirit of Elijah. And by the way, he said himself he was a Jesuit. And that he had an audience with a Pope 2 days before he went there. And he claimed he was in the spirit of Elijah. And a top Pentecostal man had brings him before the whole audience and lets him address the whole audience. And he takes these scriptures we're taking about the coming of the spirit of Elijah and about the turning of the hearts. He took these same scriptures and said it was himself. And he never lasted a week. He was took off the scene. And yet with all men that claim to have the Holy Ghost are swallowing that. But that's God. And yet with all God sent a mighty messenger and they can't see it. What about the man that sat beside William Branham, right beside him? And he said, Brother Branham, we're praying that the spirit of Elijah will come. And he's sitting beside him. Blank. You say, how could that happen? How could it happen that when Jesus walked on the road to Emmaus and the disciples didn't know him? How could it happen? Because the Bible says it was withholding from them. And no man can see nothing at all. Me and you can't either. Unless God opens our eyes to know it and see it. Amen. That's the Bible. That goes right back to words. He said, you haven't chosen me, I've chosen you. But yet with all, there's a real Pentecost. There is a real Pentecostal blessing. To turn the heart of God's children back to the Word of God and to the reveal the mystery of God. People say there's no mysteries to reveal. We knew it all along. Now that's absolute lies. Don't you listen to that sort of talk, because that's not right. They didn't know it all. Because you see, if they knew it all, why would God do this? And if they knew it all, why would we be reading that God would send our full restoration? Why would there have to be a restoration if not needed restored back? Now this book never needed restored, we know that. What the people did, back to the truth. Because it fell away on the simple things such as water baptism. No disciples ever baptized in three titles, but the whole of Christendom does. No disciple ever preached the Trinity, but they all preach it. Now where did it start then? It started at Nicaea in 325 when they formed the Nicene Council and they forbid them to baptize in the name of Jesus Christ. They call it Judaizing. And they brought in three title baptisms back to the old mother. And that's how they're doing it today. And there's great men even in this country, and if you question them about it, they'll say it doesn't really matter how you're baptized. My brothers and sisters, that's not true. That's like saying the Bible says repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, and yet you say it doesn't really matter. No, it does matter. You have to do it according to the blueprint. This here's the blueprint. But they left the Word of God and they brought in man-made denominational theories, man-made ideas, and it's crept into the church. And you know even Martin Luther let them keep relics. How many knows that? Luther let them keep relics because it said it helped them in the devotions to God. Well, you know the day we wouldn't have relics. Some of us, you've seen a relic, have a fit. Am I telling the truth or not? That's absolutely the truth. He wouldn't have it, but Luther let them have it. But didn't mean he wasn't the man for that time. But he was coming with his portion. God was bringing back step by step. so that there would be no more mysteries. But the mysteries are to be finished, made known, declared. That's what Revelation 10:7 says. And we're sitting tonight, you know, that we know the truth of these things. Now people are saying that this is all enough. Look, the rapture stands a secret. The coming of the Lord's absolutely a secret, and it will remain a secret. When a preacher tells you, well, I know about it, he doesn't know. No man knoweth the day nor the hour, only the Father. So people can have weak theories, run off here and run off there and all the while. It doesn't make it happen because it's a secret. But God's told us that we need to be ready. We need to be ready. And we need to be following the light of God. The light of God's God's Word. And God wants us to walk in His Word. He doesn't want us to walk in some of the snut light. What's the point? There's places where we don't go because we have no fellowship with them. If they knew what we believed, they would want nothing to do with us. Oh, they're good people, yes, but when you give them the truth, how good are they? If you tell them the truth, even in water baptism, they'll have a fit. You do what I've done. You go amongst a group of women preachers, like I traveled with them and everything. But the Holy Ghost came to me and gave me the scriptures forbidden for women to preach. And you go and tell them that and see what happens with you. They'll have a fight in your hand, and I know what I'm talking about. But you see, 90% of them just let it go. Paul didn't. Paul didn't let it go. Paul said, "Or suffer a woman then to teach, nor serve authority over the man." That was Paul's message. I tell you, I remember well when I announced that this is it. I'm splitting. I don't agree no more with women preaching. And I was traveling with them. You remember that? And I took the scriptures, and God supernaturally visited me. I'm telling you. I had a visitation. I know what I'm talking about. God brought me every single scripture. And I read them. I read it and all that. But I didn't have a revelation of it. It was all just here. But the Holy Spirit quickened it. And I announced it. And I can tell you, there was one individual closed their fists and they just about were ready to smack me in the gob. Literally a fight. When I announced it. And that's the way it was. And I tell you, didn't William Branham say about the cat? He said, when you stroke the cat, that cat will purr, and he's the loveliest cat you ever did stroke. When you purr on the right road, and he's, you ever skip one of them wee kittens, and you know, and he purrs away. But he says, you rake him back once and see what happens. He says, he'd claw the hands out of you. And you go and you mention Rome. And you mention him as the Pope's the Antichrist. And mention that they're baptizing in a Catholic baptism. See what happens. And you don't believe in women preachers. See what takes place. I'll tell you. You'll see what happens then. They cat fight. Not the truth. You go and tell some of these men, the Lord visited me. A man of God. The Lord's given me something to tell us people have met with them. You go to any of these organizations and tell them, and the last thing, did you eat too much? Or were you dreaming? That's what they'll say to you. They'll never see it. I tell you, this is the hour to come out from amongst them. This is the day to come out from amongst them and be separate, touch not, handle that, the unclean thing. And I tell you, what fellowship of light with darkness? I tell you, when I think back of it, the different experiences and things God did over the years is quite remarkable. I knew one young man, and he used to come to meet with me, and I'd go to meet with him. And I had a dream about him. And in the dream, I prayed for him to receive the Holy Ghost. The power of God come on him. The power of God come right over him. He passed out on the floor in a dream. And we were in a service and it just acted out like that dream and it all happened.
But he went, his elders called him to the side and told him to have nothing more to do with us. This laying on of hands was of the devil, and that speaking in tongues was of the devil, and this man William Branham was a false prophet and all them things. And he came to me and I told him all about it, and he says, no, no, I never went to the minister and said, I never leave this platform. God told me the very house, and God showed me where he went. And I told him, I said, before God, either I'm seeing things or else you're a liar. And he had to admit it was the truth. And he went to the hierarchy. And I tell you, they pulled him in. And that was the finish of it. No more of it. Now why would I go to there then? I'll not be going. Sorry, I'll not be going. There's nothing I would want. I'd want. Do you believe, agree with me tonight or not?
Yeah, yeah.
This is the truth. They don't even believe in the fundamentals of healing, most of them. Do you know there's denominations in this town, big denominations, and they might have had men that God used. I'll admit that. But them same men that God used, if you spoke in tongues in their meeting, you'd be threw out. How many knows that's right? They threw you out. Put you on the street. They wouldn't have it. And then claim to have the Holy Ghost. And deny it. I remember in a service years ago in a certain denomination, and that minister was fairly close to believing in gifts and believing in the Holy Spirit. He was very open to it. Even today, I believe he even speaks in tongues. But I tell you, one night in a prayer meeting, they invited me to a prayer meeting, and the Spirit of God began to move, and I began to pray in tongues and intercede in tongues. And one old boy got up squealing. And he says, as he passed me going out, I says, devil, get on out. But that's what he was, a devil. Real tongues will never disturb a man or woman of God. You know that? It won't do it. You know, if somebody had the gift of tongues and the praying in tongues and you're spiritual, then it'll do something good for you. It'll help you. The Bible says tongues is for the edification of the church of God. It's to renew you and charge you. But God sent the Spirit of Elijah to bring us back to the truth. Back to the real thing. And even if it's took what's called the message today, and it's wrong, it's still wrong then as well. Yes. But it doesn't do away with the fact with these original scriptures what God's done. That's the thing about it. Don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. There might be a lot that's wrong, but the original's right. Amen? Now look at this. And this verse, in the spirit of Elijah and Elisha himself, the Tishbite. Look at 1 Kings 17:1. And Elijah the Tishbite, was of the inhabitants of Gilgal, say unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. That's the power Elijah had. You show me a man the dial of God. You hear all this nonsense On all these networks, these boys giving out words, and the most of it's absolute garbage. But I want to tell you the real spirit of Elijah in the Bible had power. And I'm telling you, when Elijah the Bible made a statement, it come to pass. And I'm going to tell you, he didn't have to make it twice. And he says, there'll be no rain unless I call for it. Amen. That's the power of the spirit of Elijah. And then you go over to Elisha. And that's the first one, Elijah. And I just want you to see how the power of God was on this. Elisha in 2 Kings 2:13-15. And he took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him, and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him, and smote the waters, and said, where is the God, the Lord God of Elijah? And when he also had smitten the waters, they parted thither and hither and thither, and Elisha went over.
And when the sons of the prophets which were in the view of Jericho saw him, they said, the spirit of Elijah doth rest on Elisha. Because they knew the power of God was with him. And I tell you, we know by what we've seen where the spirit of Elijah rested in our day. We know where it didn't rest. And we know where it rested. Amen. Now some fella gets up and makes claims and there's no evidence. There's no power of God. When he gives words, nothing happens. The Bible says if a prophet speaks and it comes to pass, fear him, for God sent him. But if it doesn't come to pass, don't hear a word he says. That's the Bible. And I want to tell you, God sent a message in our day, a prophet, the spirit of Elijah. And he said things have happened. And I've no time for this nonsense, people trying to find a fault here and find a fault somewhere else, a fault in all this nonsense. There wasn't very many that found it when he was here. When he stood on the platform and said, come and stand before me, nobody rushed up. And I know there's a lot around it today with claims to be following it. I know it's wrong, but that doesn't do away with the original. Amen? I believe it's absolutely the truth. And these sons of the prophet, the spirit of Elijah that rested on them, and they came to meet him and bowed themselves to the ground before him. Then you've seen this morning where the third time it came. So it's Elijah, it's Elisha, and the third time it's John the Baptist. Matthew 11, verse 14. And if you will receive it, this is the last which is to come. That was the words of Jesus himself. Matthew 11, verse 14. So John, Elijah himself, Elisha, and John the Baptist, then that same spirit to come again. And this last church age to come again. And just as John the Baptist forerun the first coming of Christ, the spirit of Elijah in a man will forerun the second coming of Christ. And that's absolutely the truth, and we've seen it. Can you imagine that a man that openly admits that he had audience with the Pope? And he openly admits he's a Jesuit. And then he's invited on the platform to address the people. Then you imagine the ones that have intercracked into the Maxi circles what are equally Jesuits. And they were told to infiltrate this. Go amongst it and infiltrate it. And that's why we need the spirit of discernment today. And I tell you, when you see people and they don't like you mentioning the Pope, it puts me right on an off-ease right away. Because I've no worries at all about it, for he's the Antichrist. Amen. Spurgeon said, if you take Revelations and the evidence from the book of Revelations, he said the Pope should be arrested and the Roman Catholic Church right away on the evidence of Revelations if you were a solicitor. That was Spurgeon. But I'm telling you today, people have been lulled over to sleep. Lulled to sleep. Don't you know there's a sleeping virgin? Don't you know the Bible talks about a sleeping virgin? Don't you know the cry went out at midnight? The 10 of them slept and the cry went out to awaken them. And 5 were wise and 5 were foolish. And the 5 had to be awakened and trim their lamps. Coming of the bridegroom draweth nigh. And I tell you, God's coming for a people that's ready. That the lamps is trimmed. And they're walking in the light, in the truth of God. And I don't know why. Look, I felt led to preach this. I could have preached on anything, but I felt led to preach it, to bring it. So we see this third time on the fourth occasion, the spirit of Elijah was to be on a prophet to the Gentiles. To call out Christ's bride for the rapture. And this ministry would restore the Gentile bride of Christ back to the Word of God. still a people that believe in water baptism according to the book of Acts.
Back to people that believe the way Paul preached the Godhead. Back to people that believe in the old-fashioned gospel preaching with signs and wonders following it. That's what it's for. So that we know what the original sin is. The thief never ate an apple. Don't be afraid to stand for it. She never ate no apple. That's nonsense. And they're giving out wee books to children with lies in it. What's the difference in a book with an apple in it and a book with Santa Claus in it? They're both lies. God sent the spirit of Elijah to tell us the truth and took it right back into this Bible and dovetailed it right through this book and showed us that the enemy showed. And Cain came forth and he was a murderer. And then the Epistle of John says, none of Cain who's off that wicked one of his father the devil. And then some smart fellow comes along and we're all children of the devil. And he tries to spiritualize it all out. And then he brings you back to an apple. Blind. I tell you, you'd be surprised the ideas some people have. You know, I worked with a man once and he thought that the black people were the serpent seed. That's what he believed. Absolutely blinded. There's no difference. Red and yellow, black and white. All precious in the Lord's sight. Now I know you can't go down the day and splitting it all out. You know, the following lines and all. I know that all sin. I believe all that. But it doesn't change the fact that what happened in Genesis. Something took place. And that old serpent that used to stand up and used to talk and could have a conversation with thee, God put him into the dust and crawled under the ground. And he cursed him. And without enmity between the seed. Why would God put enmity between the seed if there's nothing to it? God done it. And we've the truth today. Original sin. It's adultery. That's what happened. That's why all the preaching of this Bible says, born in sin, cheaper than iniquity. If it was an apple, you wouldn't have been born in sin. Would never have made sense, born in sin, if it was an apple. The Bible says, born in sin and cheaper than iniquity. But that's the days we're living in. And they'll tell you, come over on our side, but they'll not come over on your side. They'll not compromise. But they'll want you to compromise. I'm telling you. The old fellow used to say, don't bend a nail for nobody. Amen. This is the fourth time the spirit of Elijah comes to call out Christ's bride. The ministry to restore the bride of Christ back to the word of God. Revealing the mystery of the revelation, the seven seal book. And all these mysteries. Somebody said, we know no more now about revelation than we knew before. Well, that's not the truth. Because you read, 90% of the writers said that the rider on the white horse was the Holy Spirit, and Brother Branham came and said it was the Antichrist. And he said, how do you know it's the Antichrist? He's a bow and he's no arrows. He's a bluff. And he showed you it's a power. And he showed you how he changed horses, but the same spirit all the time. And you know it's coming right back, church and state becoming one. I'm telling you, some on the mark of the beast at hand. I'm telling you tonight, these things are the truth. Do you know already, even while we're in this service tonight, there's countries in the world, they've already things fitted in their hand, and they have no more cash, and you just put your hand over the wee thing, and you're cashed in. You're all, everything's in the chip in the back of your hand. It's already in. Didn't Revelation tell us that no man could buy or something else. How many's heard it? He revealed all six, but he didn't say nothing about the seven. These are the words of William Branham in 1963 when he preached the things. And the end time scene, when it starts, will be absolutely a total secret according to the Bible. Well, if it's a total secret, how do these fellows all know it? Are they smarter than God? And you can take you right in this Bible tonight. It's in my other old Bible. And I can show you every verse right down, all the scenes that Jesus preached them. And he omitted the Sabbath. How many knows that's in the Bible? It's in Matthew. And Jesus himself said, no man knoweth the day when they are, only the Father. Now we know we're in the day, we're in the season. Because he says, when you see the fig tree putting forth, you know it's at the door. And the fig tree putting forth its leaves is Israel becoming a nation. And Israel is a nation tonight. In 1946 or 48, she became a nation. Nearly, when you read the Bible, as it was in the days of Sodom, as it was in the days of Gomorrah, so shall it be. And we see exactly tonight, it's just like the days of Sodom and Gomorrah.
Right.
And not only are they trying to legalize these things, but they're shoving it in your face.
Right.
And you can hardly say a word against it. And the politicians and everywhere, and sports people, they patronize it when the Bible condemns it. And Paul says that God gives them over to reprobate mind. To work those things which are unseemly. That's the Bible. Let's not be asleep. But let's be awake tonight.
Amen.
And know that the coming of Jesus Christ is at hand. And remember Revelation 10:1 to 7. At the end of the seventh angel's message, all the mysteries of God would be known. We're at the end time, the opening of the seventh seal. What he's saying is that the Lord's coming again. Get ready. All the time, he says, I don't know when he'll come. He might come today, but if he doesn't come today, he might come tomorrow. And if he doesn't come tomorrow, it might be the next week. But here's what he always says, be ye ready for his coming. Be ready. But people's not ready today. The Christians, Muslims, not ready for the coming of the Lord. They're backslidden. They're in the world. You go listen, some of them old preachers, boy, they didn't pull any punches, did they? Jack Coe and all them men. They preached it.
Amen.
What about when Jack Coe preached a message to the modern day church, boy, I'll tell you, he let it fly. Man, if you preached that in some of these lodges today, my goodness, you wouldn't have a seat left. They'd leave. They'd get up and they'd walk out. Then they say they're having revival. What sort of a revival? Is it a revival that brings them cleaner and closer to Jesus? Is it a revival that makes them stand on their knees and seek the face of God and read their Bible? Or is it just a numbers game? I'm telling you, we want the real move of God.
Right.
We are promised here in this Bible that know that know their God shall be strong and do exploits. You believe you're in the bride. You'd better believe it, because nobody else can believe it for you. You have to believe you're part of the bride. Amen. You're going to go in the catching up. Revelation 6:1 says, and I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard it were the noise of thunder, and one of the four beasts saying, come and see. Then look at Revelation 8:1. And when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. And I tell you one thing, people have ventured absolutely without authority and have caused confusion all over the world, putting their own interpretation on a message that they were told to leave alone. I believe that. And I know you might say, brother, at one time, you had ideas. I might have had. But I'd rather have the Word of God solid and clear as an idea.
Amen.
Amen. the fifth time. What about the fifth time the spirit of Elijah comes? When the spirit of Elijah comes a fifth time, we won't be here. We will be away. But the spirit of Elijah is coming to Israel. And the two messengers is going to come down to Israel. And they're going to see the 144,000. And Brother Branham said they will receive the same Pentecostal message we received. Then we have preachers getting up and saying we're not Pentecost. And one man rang me up and he said, but they keep taking them back to Pentecost. Now if he meant down the road to an organization, well, he was right there. But he knew we weren't doing that. Any preacher that doesn't take you back is not preaching the word of the hour. Because of the spirit of Elijah to come to turn our hearts back, where are you going to take you? Back! That'll be the leadership of the Holy Ghost to take you back. Not to an organization, but back to the Pentecostal blessing, the Pentecostal experience of faith of the early fathers. That's the Bible. That is the message. You see, 1 Thessalonians 4, 13-18, you know the scriptures well. For the Lord shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel. The trumpet of God shall sound, and then Christ shall be raised first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up to meet them in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, brethren, comfort one another with these words. Jesus Christ is going to catch away his people. There's going to be a body change. This is not a myth or a story. This is the Bible. It's going to happen. I'll tell you, we're leaving. And you know, and I know it tonight, and it's a hard truth, but it's a fact. If we have loved ones not saved, they're not going. They're staying here. They can't go if they're not born again. And that's why we should be desperate. Oh, there should be someone in us hungry for to see our loved ones saved. There's something wrong, I believe, if it's not in us. And then people shouting about, we're the bride, we're the bride. And they've no vision, no desire to see people coming in. There's something wrong. Something blinded them. I tell you, let's not be asleep tonight. Let's be wakened tonight. Oh, there's people that you love tonight. I know you do. You need to pray for them. Oh, that wee fella that can't pray for herself. That woman that can't pray for herself. That man that can't pray for themselves. We need to be praying. We need to be coming before God. We need to be getting on our knees and praying. We need to have a desire to pray. Because if we're Christ-like, he had it. Didn't Jesus pray right at the cross, Father, forgive them, for they know not what to do. Right at the very death's door, he still prayed. God wants us to be praying people. I want to read you this. It's all right for 5 more minutes. I want to read you Revelation 11, because I want to get this. This morning I missed a bit of this. Revelation 11 verse 3. And I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days in sackcloth. I tell you, the bride's away. You see, them Jews are going to rebuild the temple. They're going to do it. And you know they're going to make a pact, and they're going to make the pact with a man of sin. They're going to be deceived. But it's all in God's hands. And God's going to open their eyes in the midst of the week. They're going to cry to God. They're going to turn to God. And these men's going to see them. God's going to do it with these men. Listen. These are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before God of the earth. Verse 5 of Revelation 11. And if any man will hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouth, and devour of their enemies. And if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. These are power to shut the heaven. There you are. I tell you, this is Moses and Elijah. Praise God. Parted shut the heaven and it rained not in the days of their prophecy. Didn't he really do it when he was on earth? Elijah the Tishbite. And not rained, I call for it. I read you, it already in Kings.
What about Moses? Moses could call the plagues. God said, I've given you power. Go and do it.
These are power to shut the heaven and the rain not in the day of their prophecy, and a power over waters to turn them into blood. There's Moses.
Somebody said, I think, my pastor thinks it's Ezekiel, and my pastor thinks this, and my pastor thinks that. Well, your pastor's wrong. Because he's not following the Bible. Let's just be straight about it. You know, according to the Bible, and you must follow Bible principle, and as an old preacher said, the law of the first mention gives you all the keys. So you know, if God used Elijah to close the heavens, and here you're reading it again, that's a good indication it's the same man again. And you know, if God used Moses and turned the water into blood, there's a good indication it's Moses again. But you don't read that in Ezekiel.
And then you know that Moses and Elijah appeared with Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. When their garments shone like the noonday sun. I tell you, God makes no mistakes. Praise God. And to smite the earth with all plagues, there's Moses, as often as they will. And when they have finished their testimony, and the beast that ascended out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them, and shall overcome them and kill them. And their dead bodies shall lie in the streets of the great city, which is spiritually shut, is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. Jerusalem. And they of the people and kindreds and towns and nations shall see their dead bodies 3 days and a half, and shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put in graves. And they that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them. No time for it, you say. And make merry and shall send gifts one to another, because these two prophets tormented them that dwelt in the earth. There's your next key, two prophets. Verse 11. And after 3 days and a half, a spirit of life from God entered into them, and they stood upon their feet. Great fear fell upon all them that saw it. I tell you, they forgot one thing, the man that killed them. The people that watched it forgot one thing. They forgot the words that said, fear not him that have power to kill the body, but fear him that have power to kill the soul also. Verse 12, and they heard a great voice from heaven saying, come up. Saying, come on. Saying unto them, come up hither. And they ascended up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them. I tell you, God's empowering these men. And we should know from the study of God's word that Elijah was caught up a chariot of fire. And God buried Moses. Didn't Brother Branham say that the angels were his pole bearers? They packed him away. And when the devil went to bring a real accusation against him, he said to the angel, said, the Lord rebuke me concerning Moses, where he was buried. God had still a further work for these men. Second Kings 2:11, and it came to pass as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder, and Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. I tell you, God works with these whirlwinds. Oh yes. Came to Job in a whirlwind. Right down to him. And he said, Job, stand on your feet. Near dead. Job was near dead. Smitten by boils all over his body. Near dead. The devil done everything he could to take him. But God suffered him. Don't kill him. I tell you, when the Almighty come down in the world and said, Job, stand on your feet. Gird your loins up.
You see, all them fellas that ridiculed you, they're going to have to get you to pray for them.
or else they're finished. Command out of me, and I'll answer thee. That's the whirlwind experience. I tell you, it's a light thing when people take it light when God has visited somebody. And they go against it. It's a dangerous thing. And Moses, who never entered the promised land, but according to the word of God, died. The Lord buried him. Look at Deuteronomy 34, verse 5 and 6. So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord. And he buried him in a valley of the land of Moab, over against Beth Peor. But no man knoweth of a sepulcher unto this day. That's the word of God. These men's coming again. And Elijah has come. The church world's going on tonight. And they're writing their books and they're all prophecy fulfilled. A book here, a book there. You get this shelves full of books. But you say, do you believe that God sent a prophet in our day? And they'll look at you like you have two heads. They don't want to know about it. They deny the event of a prophet in our day. And they say they're following the Bible. They deny what God's done. And then they say we're having revival. God won't deny himself. He will not deny himself. Moses and Elijah, they're alive. And I'm going to have to close because I know the time's gone. Matthew 17 verse 3, and behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias talking with them, for the Lord Jesus, on that Mount of Transfiguration, they were there. I haven't got time to go on tonight, but if I had time to go on, you'd see in Genesis, well, you're the 12 tribes. When you study it right down, and you see for two of them tribes was took out because of sin. And God replaced them. And you see two names that's in there in Genesis. And when you get over in Revelation, there's two other names in. And then you have men that they're preaching. They're them two tribes that God took out. They're mixed up. They have to be. Do you know why they're mixed up? Because they're not coming the way God sent it. They're denying what God's done. And you get one mix up and you'll have another mix up. And the exact same around the message circles. When you get one fellow that comes out on a limb with something, and he even might have a wee quote for it or someone to get him started, and then he goes on a limb, and the next thing you know is a bunch of people after him. And it gets worse and worse. What about that fella I told you about? He told the people when the Lord was coming. And they thought it was true because God was using this man in a mighty way. And he told them when the Lord was coming. And the strange thing that he never sold nothing. But they had to sell everything. Isn't that? Now they're worshiping him. And the Lord still hasn't come. Do you say, how could it be? Because a prophet of God preached a message. The anointed ones at the end time. And I tell you, it's some message. And they seem to be doing all the works. But what are they saying? What's coming out? What are they preaching? What are they preaching? Two gods, three gods. Having Jesuits on the platform. I tell you, brother, this is the hour we're in. We need discernment. We need the real Holy Ghost. We need the Spirit of God amongst us. We need the gifts amongst us. The real thing. And I don't believe in the extreme, because Brother Branham preached anointed ones, and every time that everybody's false anointed, your people will think that. That's wrong. There's a genuine anointing. It's a genuine anointing we want. Amen. How many believe that? There's a real Holy Spirit. There's a real anointing. And the Bible says the anointing will teach you all things. Let's stand our feet tonight. I hope somewhere that God's touched you tonight to be more sincere. We, every one of us, need to be more sincere with God. I believe in praying. Many times I say, you know, how can we do it that it's more effective? And then I wonder, you know, you think of the miracles William Branham saw. And he said he wasn't sincere enough sometimes when he prayed. And you think of what he saw. We need to be sincere about it. You need to get in the person's shoes that you're praying for. And have that compassion for them. Then you really can pray for them. Let's bow our heads tonight. Let's close our eyes tonight. Heavenly Father, we just thank and praise you tonight. Lord, we know you're coming again. How could we deny the things you've done? Lord, we believe your word tonight. We believe you've sent the spirit of Elijah to turn our hearts back to the original apostolic faith. But oh, how we long for that real Pentecostal blessing amongst us. The real genuine Holy Ghost. The real genuine power of God coming upon your people. Filling them. Healing every affliction and every disease. Lord, you said that you're coming for a church without spot or wrinkle. A glorious church. And you said, though the gates of hell shall be against it, they shall not prevail. Lord, we know you're coming again. We know you're going to turn back to Israel. We know that, Lord, that the Jews were blinded so that us Gentiles could come in. But the blinding of the Gentiles will be you turning again to the Jews. Lord, we see that there's a blinding going on today because your affection, someone's taken place, Lord. I pray you'll help us to be steady at the wheel. Lord, that you'll have us awakened. Lord, that we'll not be slumbering on the job. But oh God, that you'll help us that we're not trimmed and burning. Ready for the coming of the Lord. For the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Heavenly Father, this evening, Lord, you know our hearts this evening. Lord, many of us have loved ones near and dear to us. Lord, that still never come in. Oh, how we would ask, Lord, that the power of God would speak to them. That the great Holy Spirit would move on them and convict them of sin and unrighteousness. And bring them to thyself, we pray. Take the scales of their eyes, Lord. Open their ears that they can hear the voice of God. Speak to them in the night watches. Speak to them in the daytime. Oh Lord, save them, we pray. Cover them with your precious blood. In Jesus' precious name. Father, we ask for your own people that see him, that you restore them, that you renew them. Lord, for every one of us here tonight, help us to have time with you. Lord, that we'll seek your face. Lord, that we'll put you first. And for Lord, we know you're coming again. Father, whatever the needs are in this house tonight, I pray you'll meet every need. Pray you'll bless your word to our hearts. Pray, God, that you'll touch lives, touch bodies. In Jesus' precious name I pray, to love it, come or call. Amen. Amen. God bless each one. As our brother Gary comes, don't forget our Wednesday night. And pray for the meetings next Sunday morning. Our brother John will be preaching. Pray for the services. And the Lord bless each one.